Translation: My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offence, and your perturbed eyes overflowed with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid that though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's blessing, the Lord's being the Supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of His pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only, and while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of His devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude, but the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisement of the parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, He accepts the reproaches of His fiancée more palatably than the Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna was present in this material world to manifest His eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Gokula Vrindavan as an attraction for the people in general, He displayed a unique picture of subordination before His foster mother and Yashoda. The Lord, in His naturally childish, playful activities, used to spoil the stock of butter of Mother Yashoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to His friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's munificence. Mother Yashoda saw this, and out of her pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for her transcendental child. She took her rope and threatened the Lord that she would tie him up, as is generally done in the ordinary household. Seeing the rope in the hands of his mother, Yashoda, the Lord bowed down his head and began to weep just like a child, and tears rolled down his cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about his beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Lord's supreme position. He is feared often by fear personified, yet he is afraid of his mother, who wanted to punish him just in an ordinary manner. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not. Therefore, Yashoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yashoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yashoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget this situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before the affectionate Yashoda. This exchange of love between the mother and the son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered, and she could not do anything but praise the transcendental filial love. Indirectly, Mother Yashoda is praised for her unique position of love, for she could control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. Om Gyantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Amine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastacha Deshacharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So if we want to make progress in devotional service, these prayers of Queen Kunti are very helpful for the aspiring devotee because it's giving the mood of a devotee towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, it was a general description of the workings of the Maya energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How people are bewildered, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear in this world in these different forms, you know, as a fish. I mean, who's going to believe that? You know, as a fish, or as a tortoise. You know, people in general, they just can't compute. But a devotee understands because he has a positive attitude towards understanding Krishna. So this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we have to be favourable to trying to hear Bhagavad Gita. And because of that favourable attitude, then Krishna reveals. And this particular verse is explaining about not just understanding that Krishna can do anything, he can appear in any form at any time at his will, but that, you know, the devotee can also become superior to Krishna. Of course, this is in pastime. You know, what's that? Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Surate Svabhiki Jnana Balakriyacha. That, you know, nobody is superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That everything he does is done by his energies. He doesn't have to do anything. And we are one of his energies. So how can one of his energies be superior? So this particular verse is helping us not to actually develop that mentality. You know, the mentality in a material world is we must get on. The parents tell us we have to get on in life. Is that right? You've got to pass your exams. And then you've got to, you know, you've got to get married. And you've got to, you know, in other words, you've got to please me. This is a material world. We're all self-centred or family-centred, or if we're a little bit more altruistic, nationalist. So yeah, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I can't remember the verse. 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's the 13th chapter, where Maharaj Parikshit asks Shukadeva Goswami about, you know, the position of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And he asks this question because one thing is he wants to show to the devotees how, you know, Krishna can become subservient to love. And the other one is to defeat the Mayavadi tendencies in the living entity. Because he's particularly asking, how can a person become Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? And so, first of all, Shukadeva Goswami, he leant forward at this point because he was speaking to many different types of transcendentalists. You know, people who take an interest in something beyond the material, they can start to be called a transcendentalist. They're searching beyond the material aspect of life. And so in that audience of all the sages, there were so many different transcendentalists. And they couldn't, you know, so we've just understood from what we were saying, the previous verses about understanding that Krishna is omnipotent, he can do anything. People find it difficult to understand that. So, you know, a lot of these impersonalists, they weren't even on that platform. A lot of these transcendentalists, they weren't even on that. They were impersonalists. Person? How can God be a person? How can a person be superior to an energy? So, you know, he was actually speaking to that kind of person. He was speaking to people who could understand that the Lord is very powerful and he can interchange Svabhiki Gyana Balakriya Chais. Everything happens according to his will. And then there's others who could understand that, you know, we can develop affection by the Lord through in a neutral way. So this starts from, when we, a personalist, when he starts to appreciate something beyond the impersonal aspect, like the Kumaras and Shukadeva Goswami, if they meet a devotee, then they can develop this neutrality, understanding of Krishna, of a personal form of the Lord. And what one starts to understand is that all the good qualities of Krishna, yashastir bhaktir bhagavatiya kinshina, that, you know, a devotee, by understanding these qualities, he can also develop those qualities by devotional service. And so when we understand the good qualities of the Lord, we naturally surrender. We understand that we have no greater well-wisher. So part of being neutral is we understand that Krishna is our well-wisher, our well-wishing friend. And therefore we become peaceful, shanti. And this is the first stage that we have to get. Well, we're going through many stages, and every devotee is experiencing different levels. But one of the big milestones is to, you know, we can chill out a little bit. Is that right? Can we chill out in devotional service? Is that a wrong thing to say? Chill out! Wait a minute! We have so many things to do. No, one of the things to do is remember that chill out in respect that, what can I do? You know, in the beginning, it's, you know, what am I going to do? And if we carry on thinking like that, then, you know, sooner or later, we'll get a realization that, you know, we can't do anything. So this means that let's just, you know, everything's dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's taking care of every aspect of our life. We just have to become aware of that and try our best. And that's the purpose of all this Damodar pastime. Your mother assured her she was sweating and get another piece of rope and another one. She was trying like anything. And the gopis were, you know, smiling, you know, she'll not do it. And eventually she came to the conclusion, what is it? I can't do it. And then Krishna blessed her with the ability to do it. So this is a surrender of devotional service, to work hard as if everything depends on us, but at the same time realize that everything depends on Krishna's mercy. And this is why a devotee is peaceful. You know, kami, what's that verse? Mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta. You know, bhukti mukti siddhi, if we're after material gain, we can't be peaceful. And in devotional service, we can be in that spirit, I'm the doer. We'll never be peaceful. Mukti, we're searching to get free. I want some relief. I've had enough. Still, there's some attachment for what we want, so we'll be in anxiety. Will I get what I want? Then the next one, siddhi. You know, I want to be able to, you know, prove myself as a devotee. I want to be able to do something worthwhile, yeah? Siddhi kami, not be peaceful. Will Krishna make me a star? Will Krishna make me a star? Of course, devotees don't think like that, do they? Is that right? But finally, you know, whatever Krishna wants. Krishna's in charge. I have to endeavour as if, you know, to fulfil Krishna's desire, and to fulfil the desire of the devotees and the supreme and the spiritual master. That's all. So we're talking about Shantaras. We appreciate the qualities of the Lord. And actually, on Shantaras, we can come to the platform of Prema. We can feel, you know, that transcendental emotion. So it's not an ordinary thing. And then there are progressive ras. Then there's Dasya ras. We start to do something for Krishna. We think, Prashadam's over. I'll get a book bag and I'll go into Watford. I'll do a few books. This is called Dasya ras. Of course, it depends on the mentality. Whatever service we do in devotional service depends on the progressive mentality behind what we do. So this is when we start to become active. And this is described as this is actually a real devotee. That we are not just appreciating the Supreme Personality of God, but we start to render devotional service. And by that rendering of devotional service, our natural propensities become eventually revealed, and Krishna reveals how he wants us to serve him. Of course, this is a very advanced platform, and we shouldn't be aspiring for that too quickly. Our work is to just work on the platform of becoming the servant of the servant. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood. Is it? Is that Lord Chaitanya's mood? Gopi Bhatu Kamalaya Das Dasimu Das. And then we can go through, and then as we progress through the different stages, through servitorship, then through friendship, different levels of friendship, through, you know, vatsalya, parenthood, or wanting to care for the Lord, protect the Lord, and then madhurya, you know, surrendering everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So this particular verse, which Shukadev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit in answer, when he leant forward, he said, you know, we were talking about the different levels of people in the audience, right? He said, isn't it amazing that, you know, Mother, you know, can you imagine the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When we really think about it, you know, it's like, oh, wait a minute, who am I dealing with? You know, everybody's frightened, you know, they were all frightened of Hiranyakashipu. He just lifted his eyebrow, and all the demigods, they started to shake. And, you know, Hiranyakashipu was like, he disappeared into the effulgence of Lord Nrisingadev. He was insignificant. So this is who we're dealing with, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He leant forward and said, you know, this is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his mere thoughts, he can destroy the whole cosmic manifestation. Now, you've got to be careful with somebody like that, aren't you? You know, with Stalin. I sometimes go to Russia, you know, and Stalin, he was a really powerful leader. And, you know, when he gave a speech, everybody stood up. And there were some of his allies at their back, some of his chief men, and the first one to sit down, so nobody sat down. This was the power of Stalin. So, you know, fear. And it's amazing that this person is so powerful, yet Mother Yashoda is, you know, treating him like her own child. Who in this audience is going to understand and believe that? So he whispered this to Parikshit Maharaj. So this is what this verse is saying. This verse is called the Paribhas Sutra of the 10th canto. So this means it's a direct statement. So this is the difference between philosophical arguments, any other type of argument which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Shastras. They carry weight, but when it's a direct statement from Srimad Bhagavatam stating a certain thing, then that carries all the weight. That's superior to any other statement. Just like the Paribas Sutra for the whole Bhagavatam, it's emphasizing that Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because in Bhagavatam it can become a little bit, there can be grey areas. Sometimes they're glorifying Lord Shiva, sometimes glorifying Vishnu, sometimes glorifying Vasudev Krishna. But no, this is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever it says later on in the Shastra or earlier on, we come back to this point and say, no, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Paribhas Sutra, what's it emphasizing? This Paribhas Sutra of the 10th canto, it's emphasizing that Braj Bhakti is the superior form of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of the Rajvasis. And this peculiarity of this Raj Bhakti is that it purchases Krishna. You know, Krishna cannot be purchased by anything. My Bhakti Bhutanam, let's have a look. My Bhakti Bhutanam, Amritat Vaya Kalpate. You know, Krishna's speaking to the gopis. This is after the ras, after the, he blew his flute and they ran into the forest. They left everything. They got nothing, they couldn't go anywhere. Is anybody prepared to do that? You know, sometimes we join the Hare Krishna movement and, you know, we've left everything. There's still like a few avenues. But at that time in the Vedic culture, there was no avenue. If you were rejected by the person you went to, you became a prostitute. If you want to run away with other men, become a prostitute. And so this is what the gopis did. They risked everything. And so Krishna was reciprocating with him, and he said, "My Bhakti Hi Bhutanam." He says, anybody who renders a little bit of devotional service unto me, then, he attains eternal life. Any type of devotional service. He says, but by your good fortune, you've rendered a special type of devotional service by which you have purchased me. And this is this Raj Bhakti. This is what Srila Prabhupada gave us. He didn't give us anything ordinary. He gave us the ability to, from the very beginning of our devotional lives, to render in the same mood as the residents of Vrindavan. So this is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. Lord Chaitanya, he was worshipping in the mood of a most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani. But, you know, he wasn't a sahaja. He showed this. He said that Mahaprabhura Bhakti Ganera Vairagya Pradhan Yahandaki Prithihana Gora Bhagavan. He says, you know, renunciation is the thing that sustains the lives of the devotees. And he says, when Lord Chaitanya sees that the devotees are renounced from material enjoyment, he becomes very pleased. And then when we please Lord Chaitanya, we get all blessings. So why are we saying this? Is because we don't want to take devotional service cheap. When Shukadev Goswami asked this, when Maharaj Pariksit asked this question, he was actually also not, two things we said. He was glorifying the superiority of Braj Bhakti, or giving Shukadev Goswami to an opportunity to answer in that way, and also saying that we cannot step over, we cannot, you know, it's not we're always servants of the servants of the servants, like Lord Chaitanya explained. In other words, he was asking about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. How did they get that position? And so Shukadev Goswami started to explain that there was two devotees, demigods called Drona and Dara and Drona, and they rendered devotional service according to the guidance of Krishna, and eventually they wanted the position of Nanda and Yashoda, and by that, following that process, they got exalted and elevated to the position of Nanda and Yashoda from being demigods. So it seems like we can become Nanda and Yashoda. Yes! But actually, Shukadev Goswami explained that they were partial expansions of the original Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. And they took birth in demigod families. Krishna asked the demigods, his associates, to take birth in demigod families to assist him with his mission. And then when they were worshipping Lord Krishna, then they merged back into the original position, their original position of Nanda Yashoda, who appeared in this material world. So they were already Nanda and Yashoda on expansion. So, you know, Shukadev Goswami is explaining this point that we're all eternal servants. And as soon as we start aspiring to be something like that, then it spoils the whole mood. It's just a materialistic concept coming through under the garb of devotional service. We always maintain that servant attitude. Jivarasvapai Krishnera Nityadas. Gopi Bhatu Kamalaya Das Dasanadas. And in this way, you know, we'll feel completely satisfied in devotional service. And first stage, as we said, we'll come to the stage of Shantaras. We'll feel completely peaceful. You know, in any situation, we're not fazed by anything. This is just by developing this devotional attitude that, you know, Shukadev Goswami was speaking about. So the material energy makes it extremely dull. You know, people can't understand much about what they see, what they smell, what they taste, what they touch. But in devotional service, we start to develop a sixth sense? Sometimes they say it's a sixth sense. We start to understand something beyond the material. And in order to understand these pastimes, Krishna's giving us that vision, that transcendental vision. And then, you know, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, for the rigid practitioner of devotional service, success is assured. Because, you know, sometimes in devotional service, does anybody sometimes develop a little bit of, a little bit of doubt? Is everybody completely free from doubt? About. Doubt's about. Out. Sometimes it's there, isn't it? Krishna puts the screws on a little bit. In some situations, it's like, when are the screws going to be taken off, you know? And we may start saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't bargain for all this. Then maybe just loosen them off a little bit. And no, it's not like that, I'm honest. It can be like that if we don't see things in the proper perspective. So, you know. And this is what Queen Kunti is doing. She's saying, keep tightening those screws. Because then I can actually see, I can take shelter of you. Because unless they're actually tightened up a little bit, as soon as they're tightened off a little bit, what happens? Immediately, it's like the barometer, we go whoop. We go back into the I'm the doer concept. So yeah, so we should be aspiring to become, you know, become the servant in all our services. It's simultaneously working very hard, but simultaneously not being unduly anxious about the result. So we can stop there. It's 5 minutes for questions.